As we continue with our study of the Bible overview, tonight we are going to look at the book of Jeremiah. It is a very interesting book because there's so many lessons we could draw from to enrich our lives, to enable us to grow as Christians to a mature level of understanding God's will. Oh, here we go. According to Steve Lofton, he broke Jeremiah into 52 chapters. And the key thought in the book of Jeremiah is God is patient and holy. We should remember that. Throughout the history of Israel, God wanted to see his children repent and turn from their sins. And he would welcome them back gladly, just as he does does us today. In the book of Jeremiah, we see Israel is warned to repent before judgment comes. And we also see that Israel is deported to Babylon. And Jeremiah describes Israel's restoration in this book. The key lesson we could draw from Jeremiah is we should turn to God before his judgment falls. And we have a prime example of this with the children of Israel. And Jesus, in the book of Jeremiah, we see that Christ is pictured in Jeremiah as the fountain of living waters, the great physician, the good shepherd, the righteous branch, as David the king, as the redeemer, as the Lord, our righteousness. So we could draw many lessons from reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesies to a nation that was sinning against God. They feared the Babylonians, God's enforcer against the Israelites. Jeremiah had a thoughting challenge to persuade the kings of Israel, of Judah, to persuade those leaders, priests, to repent from their sins. That's a lesson in itself for us. He's faced with this challenge to tell his brethren, the Israelites, that they are walking out of step with God. And for us today, how can we fare with a challenge such as Jeremiah had when we talk to people about the gospel? When we try to talk to our brothers and sisters who are walking out of step. Because we only have a short time span on this earth. And we have a short opportunity. And we as Christians should take every advantage to bring the gospel message to our neighbors, our loved ones, and our brethren. Jeremiah makes references to the new covenant in Christ. This will restore God's relationship with mankind. What a blessing we have as Christians to be under the New Testament economy. Living under the Old Testament law was a challenge to people. We, as a people, think we have it bad, but we don't. We are privileged to have Christ in our lives. And we are very fortunate we have God's word to guide us in our walk with him. In looking at the book of Jeremiah, we could see in chapter 1, we could see God's call, God called Jeremiah. In the chapters 2 to 6, we see the depravity of Judah and the inability of the inevitability of destruction from the north. In chapters 7 through 10, in this section, Jeremiah weeps over the attitude of the people that their formal observance of the temple services will save them from destruction. He warns them that genuine repentance is their only hope. Just because they go through the motions of worshiping God the way they think he should be worshiped, it's not in accordance to God's word. And the only way that the Israelites could redeem themselves is to repent. That's their only hope. And that holds true for today. We have the gospel, and we should be able to share it with those around us to the best of our ability. Some of us may not be orators. Some of us may not be great speakers, but we can share how we became a Christian with others. And as we search God's word, we could also share what we learn with them so that they may have salvation as we do. In chapters 11 and 12, Jeremiah's complaint over his own miserable estate and the infidelity of the Jews of the covenant. They must have tormented Jeremiah, and he had a real concern for his brethren. In chapters 13 to 45, we see the further preaching and signs of the impending doom. Jeremiah wept for his brethren, and he reminded them that they should repent, turn away from the sins. In chapter 25, Jeremiah predicted the length of captivity would be 70 years. And we know that is true. In chapters 26 through 39, Jeremiah, with prophecies and events during the reigns of the last kings of Judah. So he was a busy prophet for the Lord. And he wanted the people to know that God still loved them, but they had to do something. They had to turn away from their sins. In chapters 40 and 41, we see prophecies and events in Judah after the captivity. We see in chapters 42 through 51, Jeremiah's activity after he's forced to flee to Egypt, after a final exhortation to abandon idolatry. Chapter 44, the bulk of this section consists of prophecies against foreign nations, including a prediction of the eventual fall and desolation of Babylon. And in chapter 52, we see a summary chapter on the captivity of Judah. And if you go to secular history, you could see these events happen. We could see that Babylon doesn't exist anymore. But yet, God used the nation of Babylon to enforce his will against his children, the children of Israel. I have a timeline posted of Jeremiah where in 640 BC, Josiah became king of Judah. He was the last king. He tried to purge Judah of idolatry. We see that in 627, God spoke to Jeremiah, and that's when he started his prophesying for the Lord. We also see that he was under Josiah, Joachim, and Zedekiah. And those are the last four kings of Judah. And we see that Jeremiah was taken to Egypt in 586 BC. And in 538 BC, Babylon falls to the Medes and Persians. It must have been an interesting climate of warring between nations. But God used the nations to bring punishment against his children, the children of Israel. Jeremiah, Jehovah will cast forth his meaning, and has been called the weeping prophet. Can I get a volunteer to read Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, please?
My waters and my eyes were fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people.
Thank you very much, Anne. So we see that Jeremiah had a deep love for his children, for his brethren. And he wept for them. And that's why we refer to him as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, he was called eventually at a young age. He prophesied during the reigns of Josiah, Joachim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. And following the capture of Judah and Jerusalem, apparently altogether about 40 years. So he had a long career as a prophet. He was of the priestly family, but like John the Baptist, was more a prophet than a priest. The deep sorrow of his soul over the condition of the kingdom of Judah is evident, but he faithfully delivers the stern message of God to the effect that the Chaldeans will take Judah captivity. So Jeremiah did his job for the Lord. He was really concerned about his brethren. He was still faithful to Jehovah and carried out his will. And Jeremiah goes on to a long and illustrious career, prophesying total destruction and angering the kings of Judah, who definitely aren't interested in hearing about their imminent and gruesome demise. So he had a hard road to hoe when he's trying to convince the children of Israel to turn away from their sins. Can I get a volunteer to read Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, please?
Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good, who are accustomed to doing evil.
Thank you, Eileen. So this particular passage is very interesting. We know that the Ethiopian can't change his skin, or a leopard can't remove his spots. But those who are evil, they can do good. But they have to put their minds to repenting from those things that are causing them to stay away from God. One of the most interesting passages in Jeremiah is found in the 29th chapter, verses 11 through 12. And can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope, that you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you.
Thank you, Di. So when the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah, he said, listen, there's hope for you guys. It's going to come. And remember, we've been talking about a remnant throughout these books. Well, that remnant, God's going to take care of his people. He's going to provide a Savior, and that is Christ Jesus. And finally, can I get someone to read Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, please?
Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Thank you, Carol. I appreciate the reading from Eileen, Di, and Carol. When you look at this last verse, Jehovah is talking to Jeremiah. He said, look, I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. So there is hope for the children of Israel. There is hope for us today as Christians, because we have God's plan. We have God's plan of salvation that he came up with before the world was created, so that humanity, mankind, may have salvation. The book then is on the rebellion of Israel and the coming judgment. And when we read the book of Jeremiah, we see that the Babylonians conquered them. They destroyed the temple. But when you look at the Israelites in captivity for years, they are freed from that, and they were allowed to go back. We looked at Ezra, Nehemiah, the books of Ezra and Nehemiah told us about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the temple. We see how there was a remnant of people that went back in phases to Jerusalem to rebuild God's temple. We see that when you read the kings and the prophets, you should put them together so that you get a total picture of what is happening with the children of Israel. And it's fascinating, because when we divide the books and we read different books in their time frame in the Bible, we totally miss how they're intertwined with each other. we totally miss how Jeremiah is a contemporary of Daniel. He's a contemporary of Ezra and Nehemiah. We totally miss that. So it's important when you read the prophets, you try to connect them with in a timeline so that you could see where they fit in this story. A great deal of emphasis is placed on the fact that Israel has violated the covenant of God. And you know, this has been true for centuries. Starting with when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, what did the children of Israel do? They sinned. They built a calf, a golden calf. And God punished them. And now we see that they're still sinning. They're worshiping idols. And they're not putting God first. That's a lesson for you and I today. We have so many things in the world that affect us that Satan's trying to influence us with different things in the world so that we could not put God as our priority, and we should. And God continues to call for repentance. He shows the children of Israel his patience, his steadfastness, his kindness, his mercy. And if they would repent, God would take them back. And God has enough, and destruction begins on the Israelites. They're not returning from their sins, and God's going to destroy them. Just think about us today as Christians. Like I said, we have a short opportunity on this earth. Our time, our lifespan is anywhere from 0 to 100. And God expects us to walk in a right relationship with Him. And we have God's word to guide us. Jeremiah's prophecies consisted of these primary messages. First, the impending destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. And that came through. The possibility of averting this destruction by repentance. So there was a way out for the children of Israel, but they didn't take it. The submitting to Babylonian rule after it becomes apparent that domination is inevitable. Babylon was going to conquer the Israelites, and they were going to be enslaved to them, and they should have accepted that. Babylon herself will be destroyed, never to rise again. And Judah will return from captivity and eventually achieve an unsurpassed glory. And we see that when they were free to go back to Jerusalem and start rebuilding. The central message of Jeremiah's prophesying is Judah's destruction and exile by the Babylonians at the hands of a very wrathful God. While he's making these terrible predictions, Jeremiah had to deal with kings who wanted to imprison him or execute him. We see that King Jehoiakim tosses a copy of Jeremiah's prophecies into the fireplace, And King Zedekiah gives people permission to kill him. Later he saves Jeremiah. So he was placed in a predicament that he's trying to encourage the children of Israel to repent. And the leaders are just throwing obstacles in his way. And he had a deep love for his brethren, and he didn't want to see them destroyed. Jeremiah warns the people of the destruction that they were about to face and urges Judah to return and submit to God. It's amazing to me when you see Jeremiah's life and he's going through it and trying to encourage people and nobody's listening to him. When we present the gospel to people, some may hear, others may not, but you are planting the seed. And by planting the seed, maybe one day someone else may come along and water that seed, and it may turn the hearts to the Lord. Jeremiah identifies their sins and treachery as he wants them to realize the serious condition of their sinful ways. And Jeremiah, being God's prophet, they're not listening to him. So when we go out in the world and try to convince someone, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God's word. And Jeremiah, he then gives prophecies of the coming king and the new covenant that would be made. And that is a blessing for us today when you read Jeremiah, because God had shared with Jeremiah the hope that mankind has through Christ Jesus. The prophecies of Jeremiah offer a unique insight into the mind and heart of one of God's faithful servants. We see that the book includes numerous personal statements of emotional engagement, painting Jeremiah not merely as a prophet brought on the scene to deliver God's message, but also as a human being who felt compassion for his people, desired judgment for evildoers, and was concerned about his own safety as well. When you read the book of Jeremiah, you could see him, Jeremiah the prophet, had a job to do. He was faithful to God, but he also was very compassionate for his people. He wanted those who were evildoers to suffer. He wanted his brethren who were sinning to repent and be restored to God. And also he had a concern for himself. He wanted to make sure that his life was in a right relationship with God. We see Jeremiah prophesied in the final years of Judah before God's people were exiled to Babylon. The book's overarching theme is judgment. That's a pretty strong statement. Judgment. Each and every human being today is not going to escape the judgment seat of God. We will be responsible for all our deeds and be accountable to the Lord on that day of both our good deeds and our bad deeds. And I hope and pray each and every one of us will receive God's grace and mercy and forgiveness so that we may have eternal life with him. The first 45 chapters focus primarily on the judgment coming to Judah because of their disbelief and disobedience. God's grace is also present in these events. So when you read the first 40 chapters of Jeremiah, you could see that the children of Israel didn't care. They weren't concerned about putting God first. They were disobedient and they didn't believe in God. And that caught up to them. And the fall of Jerusalem comes nearly 900 years after the original covenant between God and the Israelites in the Sinai. Such an extended period of time witnesses to God's great patience and mercy, allowing his people the opportunity to turn from their sinful ways, a lifestyle they began not long after they struck the original covenant with God. God's great patience and mercy. We should be very thankful for that in our lives. He is kind to us. He shows us grace and mercy. And we shouldn't take that we shouldn't take advantage of that. We should be honoring God. We should be praising him and glorifying him. God's patience with his people in the Old Testament reminds us that God has always been and continues to be merciful. That's a blessing for us today. We could read these stories about these individuals in the past and how some turned away from their sins and God was merciful to them as he is with us today. His chosen people routinely ignored the covenant they made with him for the better part of a millennia without immediate death and destruction. This should give us hope in our own struggles with living righteously for God. That's an encouragement for you and I today. We struggle in our lives today with different things, different calamities, different things that affect us. We have hope that by applying God's word to our lives, we will be in a right relationship with him. Though we fail him, he is patient with us, working in us to bring about the best for our lives. And when you reflect upon your life as a Christian, you could see what God has given to you. And you should be very thankful, giving him praise and glory. And the book of Jeremiah also reminds us that an end will certainly come, a truth that should spur us to follow after God wholeheartedly. We have the book of Jeremiah. We can see that the children of Israel turned their backs on God. They didn't repent from their sins. And that should be a lesson for us to always follow the Lord. He has sent his son, Jesus the Christ. And when we read his life, we can emulate that in our lives so that we could be good servants of his. The book of Jeremiah provides us with a glimpse of the new covenant God intended to make with his people through Christ. And we as a people are so blessed we have Jesus in our lives. We have God's plan of salvation, the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection that gives us the opportunity for eternal life. And this new covenant would be the means of restoration for his people as he would put his law within them, writing it on hearts of flesh rather than tablets of stone. It is really interesting to see what transpired in the Old Testament as it transitions to the New Testament, God's plan of salvation working through Christ Jesus. God promised through Jeremiah that his people would know him directly, a knowledge that comes through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. We have the gospel writers that shared with us the life of Christ. And when you look at Jesus when he was among the people back in the first century, you can see some people accepted him, a lot of people rejected him. Question for yourself, what would you have done back in the day? Can I get a volunteer to read Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, please?
Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declared the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after the day, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, for the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will give their iniquity and their sin, I will remember, forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Thank you, Anne. So we see that Jeremiah, long before Jesus, shared with us what God had given to him, a new covenant. And the Hebrew writer in Hebrew 8 and chapter 6, we read, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. So God the Father had given us his only Son as a means of our salvation, of all mankind's salvation, provided that they obey. And we look at Jeremiah, the children of Israel did not obey the Lord. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Thank you, Faith. So we see. Jehovah will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as a king. And when we, hold on a second, when we look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, we read the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And you know, the only genealogies that were saved and were destroyed in 70 AD was Jesus' genealogy. That's amazing. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. So Christ is the true Messiah as he provides salvation for his chosen ones. And when Paul was writing to the saints at Rome, he was discussing in the 9th through the 11th chapters about his brethren, his kinsmen, the Israelites. And he says in verse 26 of chapter 11, and so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Again, the Israel, and we are the spiritual Israel as Christians today. Jeremiah explores what caused him, that is Jeremiah and God, so much grief. That was sin. There are many things we can learn even today from the prophecies of Jeremiah. The insights we can gain about God through the study of Jeremiah are timeless and applicable to people of all time periods. Just because it was written back in BC, it does have some points that we could apply to our lives. In the case of Jeremiah, he provided the word of God to the people chosen by God. That was the Israelites. And God does not and never will change. We can learn from their experience and example. We should take what they did to heart and apply it to our lives so that we could be better servants of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah not only began his time in Judah during a time of political and military unrest, but ended it that way as well. The entire region was at the mercy of the superpowers of the day, and God allowed that because of their sinful ways. Jeremiah's message anticipates Christ primarily with respect to the prophet's certainty of restoration after the exile. And it came to attrition today in our lives. And we are so blessed to be living in this century under the New Testament regime. And the prophet made it clear both that the exile was coming and that afterward the people of God would enter a new covenant period. Blessed from God. And when we look at our lives as Christians, we can see we are blessed immensely. God provides for us everything we need. Not everything we want, but everything we need to live here. And we should be very grateful and thankful for that. And Jesus is the Lord of the new covenant, the Son of David, and the high priest who ushered in the wonders of the last days to his earthly ministry. And he continues this restoration work today and will complete it when he returns in glory. And that's what we're waiting for as Christians, Jesus to return. Jeremiah had a most difficult message to deliver. Jeremiah loved Judah and his brethren. However, he loved God much more. And that should be our attitude today. We love our brothers and sisters, but we love God more. And we want to do what's right in his sight at all times. As painful as it was for Jeremiah to deliver a consistent message of judgment to his own people, Jeremiah was obedient to what God told him to do and say. Jeremiah hoped and prayed for mercy from God for Judah, but also trusted that God was good, just, and righteous. And we today have that benefit. The blood of Jesus that flowed from the cross. Christians must obey God even when it's difficult. Even when it is difficult, we should put God first. We must recognize God's will as more important than our own desires and trust that God, in his infinite wisdom and perfect plan, will bring about the best for his children. I'll finish with Romans 8 and chapter 28 and verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We as Christians are God's servants. We are, you could look at us as being his ambassadors so that we could deliver his message to people around us, our neighbors, and people in the world. That concludes our stuff. Of the overview of Jeremiah. Next week, we are going to continue with Jeremiah's plea in the Book of Lamentations. Are there any questions or does anybody else want to add something to our discussion tonight? I sure appreciate everybody's patience with me and your readings. I know it's a long book, and I try to consolidate it so that we can glean a message that would be applicable to us today.